All right, we're in IE world again. These two very familiar faces. How are you doing, Giorgio?
Good. Doing well. Good. Thanks, Charles.
Excellent. So people know Giorgio Sardo. He's sort of the master of the IE9 demos, and he's an evangelist working for Tim Sneed. So yeah. Nice to see you. Ari, how are you?
I'm good, man.
Cool. Ari Bigsorn is a big shot on the IE team, who's very famous for his incredible demos, which you guys will see as a part of another video. So what's going on here, Giorgio, in terms of an HTML5 website with Disney that you've been working on?
Mm-hmm. So we've been working on HTML5, and we've been talking a lot about HTML5 in the last months. The great thing that i9 brings is a lot of new capabilities. You can build new websites that are super fast thanks to the Android acceleration. And so you've seen in the past like little experiments coming from the IE test drive, for example. So we focus on little specific demos. Uh-huh. We start building more and more complex demos, and then we also look at what are the real-world scenarios. How can we take HTML5 and really bring it to highlight things that exist today, but they can be better? And so this is what we came up with, Disney. We're just trying to imagine the new version of Tron, and this is a super exciting HTML5 site.
Excellent. Now, you also have an accompanying paper with this that people will read on a blog, which goes into technical details. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like actually implementing this?
Sure. So, first of all, we've been working with Vectorform. Vectorform is a design agency. They are very experienced on HTML5. They did other very great projects. I suggest you to check them out on beautyoftheweb.com. In the technical blog post, we describe some of the experience building this website, right? Mm-hmm. HTML5 is easy. It's made of a lot of simple elements. But the way you combine all of those elements together is actually what developers have fun with every day. And so we work around a lot of complexities, or we fine-tune the performance. We look around like how to minimize bandwidth of images. And a lot of these little tricks that then at the end like they bring to an excellent experience like the one we have.
Excellent.
But if I scroll through the experience and
show
how cool it is?
Sure, I'm going to zoom in.
Do the
nice.
The Dana White here.
Smooth.
Talk about the transparency here. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, actually, like you see right now that there are a lot of images that are scrolling on the page. You might think those are just images. Actually, when you if you're a developer and you're used to develop with JavaScript, jQuery, and this type of stuff, you know that there is a lot of complexity with the animations going on here. We initially start working with the CSS 2D transforms and try to do all of the animation with the 2D transforms. And then we realized that the canvas was really the best solution for this project. And so what you have here on this page is a full screen canvas where we're drawing a lot of images. And if you look closely here, for example, there is also lightning. Mm-hmm. So think about this. We started from a static image that was like the original comic book from the Disney Tron experience. And now you get like an HTML5 version of the same page with effects. And so if you keep scrolling here, you will see that actually all of the, for example, the key here, the circles, will see shadows. So all of the content here is interactive. And as you move through the mouse, you explore new elements that just came up with the scenes. So let me play a bit with this. Like you see, this is not static. It's all moving. And it just brings like a level of interaction that wasn't possible before. And also the characters are interactive, so you can zoom in, you can play with it. It's really like
so. Can I ask a question about the canvas element?
Sure. Okay,
so if you go back to what you were just scrolling on, so those are actually the image is moving when you move over them, right?
Uh-huh.
So you're actually computing that as responses to the events.
Yeah, that's right. So it started from like a static screen with all of these characters and all of these elements on the page.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of like extrapolated each character into a different image so that we are able to animate each image on a separate with a separate like story.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you scroll with the mouse or you move your pan with the keyboard, we basically know at what point of the story you are, and we bring the animation to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine like from an animation to from A to B, we're basically changing the animation depending on the position that of your mouse.
And are we preloading all these images as they scroll across the screen?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So there is a nice preloader at the beginning. Nice. Obviously, there are images involved in this project, and you don't want to create like a bad user experience. So what we did was basically creating a preloader element.
Mm-hmm.
This is built in JavaScript. You can right-click and view the source Code, and you basically preload in the background all of the assets that, that you need in the project, and then you're ready and you can go through the entire experience.
Nice.
Mm. Do you want to go through the entire experience end to end?
I will.
Let's have a look to the performance.
It's pretty sweet. And I threw the little frames counter up on the top left here, so you can see we've got full 60 frames per second, and if I crank through this, you can see just how smooth the animation is. It's really nice. It's cool. If you compare this to like a traditional graphic novel, like graphic novels have always been like gorgeous art form, but I think what we're doing now in the Tron site is really groundbreaking in the way that we're using HTML5.
Mm-hmm.
What was before static text and pictures is now really, really cool graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Animation, you get that nice parallax effect. It's gorgeous.
It really is.
It's just gorgeous.
You actually call a good point. Let's have a look to the fonts, right? So, the previous page, you look at the font, and actually they're a bit blurry here, because it just doesn't get to the level of detail that you need to read in the story.
We're using WAF in Tron, right?
Yeah, so now with the Disney site, instead we're using the new standard, which is called WAF. It's a funny name, but it's the new standard to embed any type of font in the browser. It's supported in 9.9 since the first platform preview. And you can see that actually each part of the story is a different font. And so it will try to keep the original font from the original comic book. And the experiences that you get is that you can zoom in, zoom out as much as you want, but the fidelity of the font is still the same, so they're just pixel perfect.
Excellent.
It's also pretty cool that it's Disney doing this. I think Disney is ranked as like number three or number four biggest social influence brand in the world. And so to have someone like Disney investing in HTML5, it makes a pretty strong statement about the technology.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not to mention what was said yesterday by Mr. Sanofsky.
No doubt.
So, Giorgio, I want to get a little geeky for a second. So you mentioned that CSS3, which of course that computation or that computing also happens on the GPU, as does anything that involves graphics. What was it that led you to Canvas, besides the obvious thing that that's where you're going to want to talk to me a little bit about why you made that decision and what was the problem with CSS3 for this purpose?
The great things about HTML and HTML5 is that there are a lot of new technologies, a lot of new markups, a lot of new ways to do similar things. For example, CSS3 2D transforms allow you to apply transform to object. And this was great. This is a great solution if you want to apply transform to an HTML object. So you already have an HTML object on the page. You want to skew it, rotate it, zoom in, scale it. You can do it easily with CSS3 2D transform. What we needed for this project in particular was the ability to have a story of a lot of objects, right? There are probably like more than 100 elements on this page. In each element, it's on a story or it's on animation, a storyboard.
Mm.
The complexity with CSS 3 is that you can start animation, but you don't have full control over at what point of the animation you are at. You cannot cancel the animation. You cannot say, I want to skip and go to the 60% of that animation. Or better, you can do it, but you need to use JavaScript to manipulate the CSS. And sometimes I require to delete CSS rules and then add in again back to the code new CSS rules. Mm. And this becomes a bit clunky, it's challenging from a performance point of view.
Mm.
On the other side, the canvas is this huge canvas platform, right? It's just a surface. You can draw any object, and you can easily apply any kind of transformation to each object. And so that really helps you with animation and with the storyboard. Now you can really go to the exact level of definition of each animation with the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
There are pros and cons of each solution. I think I gave you some pros on the canvas. One of the cons of using the canvas is that the canvas is a stupid control, right? Once you draw something inside the canvas, you lost it. You see it on the screen, but you cannot click on it because the canvas doesn't know about this image versus that image. Mm-hmm. Everything is meshed up together. And so because of that, for the interaction and for all of the clicking experience, we had to build a layer on top of that, with JavaScript, that basically intercept the clicks from the events from the mouse or from the keyboard and apply those to the canvas. But still, building this little workaround was much easier than building the entire solution with the CSS 3 2D transforms. Plus, you saw it. It gave us 60 frames per second performance on i9. So the experience is really smooth.
That's amazing.
They're also taking advantage of a bunch of other HTML5 features, like audio. They've got the cool Daft Punk music in the background, if I can crank it up.
This is quite interesting, actually. While we were developing the story, we've been having this you know, phone calls with Disney talking about what music should we use for this experience, for this site. And we went through the soundtrack of the Tron, right? The last movie from Tron. And there are actually a lot of interesting songs in there. Yeah. And the initial one was really like kind of punk aggressive. And then we decided to go
scale
for something
it back a little bit.
Scale yeah. a bit and then go for something like a little bit more easier to listen to.
Excellent. Now, clearly, all of this is done in high-definition imagery. How did you deal with, you know, the sort of the physics problem of bandwidth, which you can't, HTML5 doesn't solve that problem.
That's right.
Physics problem.
Yeah.
So talk to me about that.
So we went, like, as we start like loading images, we quickly went to how can we optimize the bandwidth? How can we reduce the size of the images? And so if you right-click, if you try to look at the source code of this project, you will notice that many images have actually two different versions of the image. One is the flat original image, and the other one is what brings like the new glow component, right? They're all PNGs, so they all support transparency. But we've been able to extrapolate the globbing effect, which is what like fades on top of the original image, and we've been able to re-encode that image using a little trick with a tool called PNG Quest.
Quant?
Yeah. Which basically reduced the number of pixels used to define the color. Because this is just like a shadow effect, on a glow effect on top of the image, you don't miss the wrong resolution. Like the fidelity of the image is still the same, but we've been able to achieve and to save bandwidth using that little trick.
You get sort of the file size of an 8-bit PNG, and you get the fidelity of a 32-bit.
That's right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Pretty cool.
So now, are there any bottlenecks in this? I mean, is JavaScript the bottleneck here? I mean, talk to me a little bit about, you know, from an engineering perspective, you have this blastingly good performance on the GPU. The JavaScript doesn't get that, right?
You know, if you look at the JavaScript code involved in this project, actually there isn't a lot. Like each of like this story is basically built of several pages. Each page is like similar to the page of the original comic book and defines the action within the page, right? So, for example, in this page, this will be one page itself, and it will define like when all of these elements become visible. How the animation inside each page works, how the fonts appears into the page. And so think about probably 50 to 70 lines of JavaScript for each page. If you multiply for the number of pages, that's probably about 13, 15 pages. So that's not really not a lot of JavaScript. And it's just like very linear. So it's just like a loop. So you have a drawing loop which goes through all of the code. We did some optimization. So we just run the JavaScript that you need to show this page. So you see, like, this is a long story, right? But in this moment, we're just running the JavaScript to render this page. We're not running the JavaScript to render all of the rest of the page.
Sure.
So I don't think the JavaScript is the bottleneck here.
Okay.
On the GPU side, actually, I think we can do even more. We did a lot of experiments along the way. We tried to really boost the performance, like try to maximize the performance, but it's kind of incredible, like how many different assets you can load on the same page without, like, still hitting the 60 frames per second on i9. That's really something that helped us during the development. Just make it a lot easier.
What was the dev cycle for this? It was like under a month, right?
Yeah, that's right. Like end to end, it was 1 month.
Nice.
And when you spent most of your time on what?
Playing.
Right on, man.
No, actually, it took about 5 days to define the assets, to separate the assets from the original comic book, to make them like digital assets and separate them into different images. Then we spent probably 1 week about one week on the prototyping, so trying to prototype with CSS versus Canvas versus other technologies. Putting together the website has been fairly fast. So 1 month and we have this great site.
That's awesome.
We also take advantage of other IE features like site pinning, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The drag and drop this down here.
Oh, yeah.
Got the high-res fav icon there, looking
nice.
Smooth.
Yeah, that took about 1 minute.
Yeah.
Three lines of markup. It is cool how many like different features of IE that they're using here, whether it's HTML5 Canvas, the site pinning, the WAF fonts, HTML5 audio. It's a nice real-world case study in HTML5 use by a big brand. It's pretty cool.
No, it's really, really cool. And it's a heck of a lot better than flying flags which was Giorgio's first masterpiece, that really showed off the power of the HTML.
Don't hack on
GPU.
Those flying flags, man.
Not at all, man. They were good.
They were very good.
And the fish, this is cool. So I'm sure Disney's stoked, because I could see a lot of things being done, a lot of immersive experience inside your web app.
And, you know, like yesterday, Steven talked about Windows 8, the fact that now you can build HTML5 apps for Windows 8. Mm-hmm. If I think about what we've been able to achieve in such a short time frame, I cannot just imagine what other developers will build in the future. This just opens, I think, for a lot of possibilities.
And if you think about graphic novelists, this opens up totally new opportunities for them.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice, you guys. Well, yeah. Hey, great work.
Great work.
And
ciao, Charles.
Ciao, man. Keep it up, Giorgio. I can't wait to see what you do next, man.
Oh, follow beautyoftheweb.com.
Absolutely.
I have others coming soon.
Right on. Cheers.
Thanks, man.
Ciao.
See you.